Happy Sabbath, dear ones. Welcome to our main church service on this 20th day of May, 2023. Welcome to those that are listening to the recording, to those that are also joining us on the phone. I'm glad to have you each in fellowship with us today. We have a very important sermon to get into. So let's move right along in our service. Our opening song is titled, Jesus is All the World to Me. And may he be that way to you as well. Jesus is all the world to me, my life, my joy, my all. He is my strength from day to day. Without him I would fall. When I am sad, to him I go. No other one can cheer me so. When I am sad, he makes me glad. He's my friend.
Jesus is all the world to me, my friend in trial storm. I go to him for blessing, and he gives them honor and awe. He sends sunshine and rain. He sends harvest golden grain. Sunshine and rain, harvest and grain, he's my friend.
Jesus is all the world to me, and true to him I'll be. Oh, how could I this friend deny, when he's so true to me? Following him, I know I'm right. He watches o'er me day and night. Following him, my day and night, he's my friend.
Jesus is all the world to me. I want no better friend. I trust him now. I'll trust him when life's fleeting days shall end. Beautiful life with such a friend. Beautiful life that has no end. Eternal life, eternal joy, he's my friend.
Amen. And may Christ become your all in all, your best friend. Never fear to follow his lead, because he leads you to life everlasting. What a Savior he is. I invite you to please join with me in opening prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so very much for not leaving us in darkness and despair and hopelessness and certain death, but for developing a plan in which we could escape all of these things and be reunited with thee and dwell with thee forever. Thank you, dear Savior, for voluntarily agreeing to carry out this plan, for coming down, living among us, living in fallen flesh, and overcoming the temptations of the wicked one from without and from within to show us how we can do the same. Thank you for dying to set us free, for spilling your blood that we might be cleansed from sin and guilt, and for providing us your righteousness and grace that we might indeed live a new life, but only in you. And thank you, Father, for accepting us in the beloved, for clothing us with his precious robe, and not looking beneath to see our unworthiness, but to only see your Son in us. And thank you, dear Spirit, for continually wooing us from our sins, from the world, from following any un-Christ-like trait of character, and pointing us directly to the Savior. Thank you for your encouragement, for your reproving, correcting, for instructing us in the way of righteousness, and for granting us the grace to do so. Such a perfect plan, dear Godhead. And we thank you so very much for enabling us to fulfill our part in this great plan, that we might indeed have heaven and eternity with thee. We pray, dear Godhead, that your presence will continue to be in our midst. Dear Savior, continue dispelling darkness in our heart with the bright beams of your righteousness and truth. Dear Spirit, continue to lead and guide us into all truth in Christ Jesus. Please remove all custom and tradition, all preconceived ideas and opinions, all the commandments of men, that we might see the straight, clear chain of truth that leads us upward to salvation. And grant us the grace to overcome any barriers that the devil might throw in our pathway to keep us from advancing. Help us to lay aside everything that we may believe, that we might accept what you teach is truth, especially on this vital subject of the latter rain and loud cry. Let all other voices become still, silent, that we might hear your voice telling us, this is the way, walk ye in it. Thank you so much for being a God who hears and answers prayer. Grant us extra grace to wait on you, to be patient, long-suffering, to endure, to hold fast, that we don't lose our crown. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So again, happy Sabbath, dear ones. And this is the Latter Rain and Loud Cry series, part 4. And we discovered last time that God tells all of his people that we're no longer to wait for the latter rain to fall, because the reality was the Holy Spirit could already be falling on hearts all around us, but we would not discern or receive it. And we then understood that the reason why it takes discernment before you can receive the latter rain is because the Holy Spirit was to fall with a message, and that message was the righteousness of Christ. And since this message of the righteousness of Christ has been preached since around the year 1888, then the latter rain could be falling ever since that time. And God told us it had already begun to fall at that time. So then this means that you don't have to look far into the future for the latter rain to fall, because you can have it now. We also understood last time that God declared that this last message of mercy of Revelation 18 was already swelling into a loud cry, and that the loud cry of the third angel had already begun back in the 1890s, over 130 years ago. We then learned that the only reason why we're still here today is because God's Seventh-day Adventist people and his church back then turned their back on this realization. They mocked at the idea that the latter rain could be already falling, and they instead ridiculed, criticized, slighted, and rejected this message of the righteousness of Christ. So they, in essence, told the Holy Spirit, who was already being poured out in that message, to go away and to only come back when they asked him to come back. We then read an inspired statement where God declared that Revelation 18 was the message for today, and that it was now to be given, and that it was already lightening the earth with its glory. So this revealed to us that each one of us today are living in the time of the falling of the latter rain, the time of the swelling of the loud cry, the time when Revelation 18 is to be given loudly. So this meant that God is holding out to you and to me and others all around the world the blessed honor of having the refreshing outpouring of the Holy Spirit fall upon us. God is holding out to each one of us the precious privilege of having a part in helping the swelling of this message to be into the loudest cry possible, and to now fill this earth with God's glory. What greater privilege could there be, dear ones, but to finish the work and to bring Christ here the second time to take us home? So then what time are we living in right now? We're living in the time of the latter rain, the time of the loud cry, the time when this last day movement of God is going forth. So if you realize this, What should you do? Should you run to the church and ask the pastor, are these things so? Should you ask your friends, your elders, your teachers, your parents, your siblings, your children? What should you do? And for those that would like to follow along with the notes and quotes I'll be referring to in this sermon, you can find these on our website at lightministries.com/ID1403.htm. So lightministries.com/SDA/ID1403.htm. So what should you do? If you look at quote number one from Zechariah 10 verse 1, we're told exactly what to do. Ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain, so the Lord will make bright clouds and send them, or you, showers of rain to everyone grass, new growth in the field, in your heart. So we're in the time of the latter rain, and God said, ask me for that latter rain, and then he'll send it to you, and you will have new growth in your life. So since the latter rain is already falling, and the loud cry is already being given, then who will God use to give this message? And then what will happen after the message is given? And this is what we're going to learn today. So who will God choose to give this message? This is actually question number 5 out of the 7 that we are going through.
Yes. So, well, when ancient Israel, didn't do it, he left ancient Israel when they disobey and formed another group from God appointed to do it.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, dear sister. So God tells us exactly who he's going to use here. God will choose men and women who are humble. That's Micah 6 verse 8, Evangelism page 699, Faith I Live By page 330. And I'm not going to read all of the references here. You can find these at the link that I provided there. But I'm going to go through these and you can compare your life with these descriptions of who God is going to use. So God will use those who are humble, those who are lowly, and they may be despised by others, but God doesn't despise them. God will use those who have consecrated themselves to his service. God will use men and women who have faith and who pray and who are constrained with holy zeal. God will use those who may not be qualified by training of school or literary institutions. They may not be trained to be ministers or to speak forth God's word. But God will qualify them to speak for him by the Holy Spirit. So if you want to be used by God, then you need to be humble. You need to be lowly. You need to consecrate yourselves to his service. You need to exercise faith. You need to be men and women of prayer. You need to be constrained with a holy zeal and qualified by the Holy Spirit. And you don't have to worry about any kind of scholastic degrees. And we're told in the Last Day Events, again, this is not the conference edition, Last Day Events from the Letters and Manuscripts of E.G. White, page 80. The Lord himself will call men, as of old he called the humble fishermen, and will himself give them instruction regarding their field of labor and the method they should follow. He will call men from the plow and from other occupations to give the last note of warning to perishing souls. Now, not just men here was more of the generic form, meaning mankind. So God will call men and women, and he will give them instruction on where they're to work and how they're to work for him. So again, you don't have to wait until you've been trained by someone. God will train you. You just have to be willing to follow the Spirit's leading. So this means that God can use even me, even you, as long as we humbly depend upon God, are willing to obey and follow his truth, and we ask him for help. He will then moisten our dry hearts by the Spirit being given to us, and we can be a co-laborer with him in giving this last message of mercy to perishing souls. But under what conditions will consecrated men and women and even children give this last message? Will it be conditions that are favorable or unfavorable? Will they have to fight in giving the message, or will it be smooth sailing? What kind of conditions? If you look at quote number 3. From Selected Messages, book 3, page 412. The last great conflict is before us. But help is to come to all who love God and obey his law. And the earth, the whole earth, is to be lightened with the glory of God. Another angel is to come down from heaven. This angel represents the giving of the loud cry, which is to come from those who are preparing to cry mightily with a strong voice, Babylon the Great is fallen, and is become the habitation of devils and the hold of every foul spirit and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Revelation 18, 1-2. We have a testing message to give, and I am instructed to say to our people, unify, unify. But we are not to unify with those who are departing from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. With our hearts sweet and kind and true, we are to go forth to proclaim this message, giving no heed to those who lead away from the truth. So, are any in this Revelation 18 movement to be unified with any church that's rejecting or unwilling to give this loud cry message from heaven? Are we to be members of any group that has rejected or is unwilling to give this Revelation 18 message? And the answer is absolutely not. If you want to follow God. God himself said in inspiring Ellen White to write, we're not to unify with those who are departing from the faith. So that means you're not to be in union with any church that's rejected the message. You're not to be in harmony or in fellowship with any group that is unwilling to give this loud cry message of God. I mean, if you think about it, what good is it going to be to call people out of Babylon if you're still connected with a church of Babylon? It's going to undermine your very message. So any union with those who oppose this loud cry message, this last day movement, will only give the enemy greater chance to lead you to give it up as well. Well, you can't be so strong in declaring the church to be Babylon. If you tone the message down, more people will listen to you. And then you can quietly lead them into understanding the church is Babylon. The longer you remain connected with Babylon, the more chance it gives Babylon to contaminate your faith, to change your outlook, and to lead you to give up or to compromise the truth. And if you compromise the truth, you're betraying Jesus. But this message also brings up the aspect that we are to unite together with other brothers and sisters who are in this Revelation 18 movement so that we together can finish God's work. So then we're going to see separation occurring and uniting occurring at the same time. If you look at Spiritual Gifts, Volume 1, page 193 to 4. Great power and glory were imparted to the angel, and as he descended, the earth was lightened with his glory. The work of this angel comes in at the right time and joins in the last great work of the third angel's message as it swells into a loud cry. And the people of God are fitted up everywhere to stand in the hour of temptation, which they are soon to meet. I saw a great light resting upon them, and they united, how? In the message, and fearlessly proclaimed with great power the third angel's message. The glory of God rested upon the patient waiting saints, and they fearlessly gave the last solemn warning proclaiming the fall of Babylon and calling upon God's people to come out of her that they might escape her fearful doom. So what did God say his people are to unite together in? The message. What message? The third and the fourth angel's message. The righteousness of Christ and separation out of Babylon to Christ. So you're not to be separate from those that are preaching the message. You're to be separate from all who oppose the preaching of the loud cry message. You're to be united with all of those who preach it. Not those who just believe it, but those who are giving the loud cry. I remember watching a video back in 1995, a long time ago. And in this video that was put out by John Osborne, there were three people, three ministers, up on the stage with him. And John said, here's a line. He drew a line on the marker board. And he said, on this stage, there's three ministers who believe that the Adventist Church has crossed this line and has become Babylon Fallen. And he says, and there's one minister up here who hasn't yet come to that decision. He's on this side of the line because he doesn't yet believe the Adventist Church has crossed it and become Babylon. But then he went on to say, for the sake of this one minister over here that doesn't yet believe, these three ministers are not going to publicly preach that the Adventist Church has crossed the line and has now become Babylon. And those three ministers just hung their heads up on stage, video recorded. We're not to be united with any who do not preach this message of Revelation 18 combined with the righteousness of Christ of the third angel. What good does it do to believe it but refuse to let your light shine? Now, what happens after the loud cry message is heard? This is question number 6, if you look at quote number 4. What happens when this loud cry message is heard? From Bible Commentary, Volume 7, page 983. When the earth is lightened with the glory of the angel of Revelation 18, the religious elements, good and evil, will awaken from slumber. So what did inspiration reveal to us that awakens out of sleep both the good and the evil religious elements, religious people, religious institutions in the land? It was the light of Revelation 18. In other words, the message of the righteousness of Christ of the third angel and the message of separation to Christ from corrupt Babylonian churches of the fourth angel. So it's the loud cry that wakes them up. So these two messages combined together swells into a loud cry. And this is what awakens both the followers of God and the followers of the devil out of their sleep. Both groups will then have to make a decision whether they're going to follow the message or reject the message. So then, when this message is heard, two different groups begin to form. One group is composed of those who accept the message. The other group is composed of those who reject it. But it was the hearing of the Revelation 18 message. It was hearing the loud cry that woke them up in the first place. So then, without the hearing of the loud cry being given to them, they would have continued to sleep. I hope that you can see that, dear ones. So you may preach any other message except the loud cry of the third angel, and they'll keep sleeping. It was only when they heard the loud cry being given to them that their church was fallen Babylon, and they had to come out of it before they could join Christ. That woke them up. The message about the law of God kept them asleep. The message about Saturday being the Sabbath kept them asleep. The message about health reform kept them asleep. The only message that woke them out of sleep was the message of the loud cry of the third angel. Now, the law of God is important, vitally important. The Sabbath is vitally important. Health reform is vitally important. But that was not what woke them from sleep. It was the loud cry message, and that is inspiration. That's God telling you what woke the people out of sleep. So I hope you can begin to realize the importance of this Babylon is the church message of Revelation 18. Because not only will it wake up both the good and the bad, but it's the very message that identifies who are the chosen of God versus those who are the agents of the devil. And we're told that very thing. In Review and Herald, March 19, 1895. This is volume 3, page 239. The Lord is soon to come. There must be a refining, winnowing process in every church, for there are among us wicked men who do not love the truth. There is need of a transformation of character. Will the church arise and put on her beautiful garments, the righteousness of Christ? It is soon to be seen who are vessels unto honor. And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and is become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, and it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. Here are brought plainly to view those who will be vessels unto honor, for they will receive the latter rain. Every soul that continues in sin in the face of the light now shining upon our pathway will be blinded and accept the delusions of Satan. We are now nearing the close of this world's history. Where are the faithful watchmen on the walls of Zion who will not slumber, but faithfully declare the time of night? So as we read through this, Ellen White said, it's soon to be seen who are the vessels unto honor. And then she quotes Revelation 18. And then she says, after quoting this message, then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked. So this shows us, dear ones, that it's this Babylon message of Revelation 18 which allows everyone to clearly distinguish between those who are really following and working for God versus those who are really following and working for the devil. So as this is true, that those who reject the loud cry message are working for the devil, and those who accept it and preach it are working for God, then where are you in this scenario? Are you working for God, or do you desire to work for God? Then you know what you need to do. Accept the fact of truth that the church you love has become Babylon fallen, and boldly give this loud cry message to your fellow Christians so that they have a chance to escape from Babylon before they're blinded into believing that their apostate church is really working for God and is going to finish the work. If you reject the message and you don't believe that the church is part of Babylon fallen, then may God awaken you out of sleep. May God open your eyes to see the dire situation that you're living in and recognize how close you are to being lost. It's this message of Revelation 18 that awakens both the good and the bad out of sleep. And once these evil religious elements are awakened, they will come to increasingly hate this message that exposes their fallen church, and they will hate it so much that they will do anything to try and stop the message from going forth. And this will include getting civil laws passed to try and stop it. And this, of course, leads to the enforcing of the Sunday law. If you look at quote number 5. From Spirit of Prophecy, volume 4, page 424 and 5. And I believe it's Great Controversy, 1911 edition, page 606 and 7, if I'm not mistaken. The sins of Babylon will be laid open. The fearful results of a union of church and state, the inroads of spiritualism, the stealthy but rapid progress of the papal power, all will be unmasked. By these solemn warnings, the people will be stirred. Thousands upon thousands have never listened to words like these. In amazement, they hear the testimony that Babylon is the church, fallen because of her errors and sins, because of her rejection of the truth sent to her from heaven. So they hear the testimony that their own church is Babylon. Continuing. The people go to their former teachers with the eager inquiry, are these things so? The ministers present fables. It's not yet time for the message. Prophesy smooth things. Just wait for the Sunday law to come. To soothe their fears and quiet the awakened conscience. But many refuse to be satisfied with the mere authority of men and demand a plain thus saith the Lord. The popular ministry, like the Pharisees of old, are filled with anger as their authority is questioned. They denounce the message as of Satan and stir up the sin-loving multitudes to revile and persecute those who proclaim it. As the controversy extends into new fields, And the minds of the people are called to God's downtrodden law. Satan is astir. The power attending the message only maddens those who oppose it. The clergy put forth almost superhuman efforts to shut away the light lest it should shine upon their flocks. By every means at their command, they endeavor to suppress the discussion of these vital questions. Is the church Babylon or not? Are we breaking God's law or not? Continuing. The church appeals to the strong arm of civil power, and in this work, papists are solicited to come to the help of Protestants. The movement for Sunday enforcement becomes more bold and decided. The law is invoked against commandment keepers. So what happens first that then leads step by step to the Sunday law being invoked? It was the message of Revelation 18, the loud cry message declaring their church to be Babylon was given first. And then the wicked religious elements were awakened from slumber, and step by step it led to the Sunday law being enforced and the crisis coming. So the message was given first, and then the Sunday law came later. Here's another quote. This is from Prophets and Kings, page 187 to 188. Today, as in the days of Elijah, the line of demarcation between God's commandment-keeping people and the worshipers of false gods is clearly drawn. How long halt ye between two opinions? Elijah cried. If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. 1 Kings 18:21. And the message for today is, Babylon the Great is fallen, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Revelation 18, 2, 4, and 5. The time is not far distant when the test will come to every soul. The observance of the false Sabbath will be urged upon us. So what's the message for today? This is back in 1913, Revelation 18. And then what will come after giving the message for today? The Sunday law. So again, inspiration has declared that the message of Revelation 18, the loud cry, is given first. And then the crisis of the Sunday law will come afterwards. But this fact, this truth, is not what the Adventist church leaders and even the majority of the independent ministries and ministers have been preaching to God's people for decades now. Both the church leaders and the independent ministries and ministers have been teaching God's people that the Sunday law crisis is what signals the time to give the loud cry. So we have to wait for the Sunday law to come before we rise up and give the loud cry. That's what the interpretations of men tells us. The commandments of men remain silent until the Sunday law. But God tells you to give the loud cry now, because that is the only message that's going to bring on the Sunday law crisis. And just to make sure that God's followers understand this truth, he declares exactly what brings the crisis. In Last Day Events from the Letters and Manuscripts of E.G. White, page 190. This is letter 94, July 3, 1900. Quote, "We have the truth, which in its proclamation is to bring the crisis for this world's history." So it's proclaiming the truth that brings the crisis. It's not the crisis that signals the time to give the truth. So what brings the crisis for this world's history? It's not the crisis of the Sunday law. It's proclaiming the truth that we already have, that God said is already to be given. The loud cry message of Revelation 18 combined, joined with the third angel's message. That's what brings the crisis of the Sunday law. So if the loud cry is not publicly given, then no Sunday law crisis will occur. Time continues on, and Satan has more time to cause precious souls to be lost. So don't let any church, don't let any ministry, don't let any minister, any pastor, any elder, or any other person try to convince you that it's the crisis of the Sunday law that comes first before you can give the loud cry. Because God has already plainly told you to give the loud cry now, because that brings the Sunday law crisis later. The third and fourth angels' messages are the last messages of mercy that will ever come to the people of this world. And God has told you over and over and over again that it's time to rise up to yourself, obey the message, and then loudly proclaim these life and death messages to any and to all who will listen, whether they hear or forbear. You're still to give it. We're told in Isaiah 60, verses 1 to 3. This is quote number 6. Arise, not remain sitting, not remain inactive. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. We're told in Ezekiel 3, verses 10 to 11 and 17 to 21. Moreover, he, or God, said unto me, all my words that I shall speak unto thee, receive in thine heart and hear with thine ears, and go, get thee to them of the captivity. In other words, those in Babylon, unto the children of thy people, and speak unto them and tell them, thus saith the Lord God, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear. I have made thee a watchman. Therefore, hear the word at my mouth and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her plagues. Thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life. The same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Yet if thou warn the wicked and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Again, when a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die. Because thou hast not given him warning, he shall die in his sins, and his righteousness which he hath done shall not be remembered, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the righteous man that the righteous sin not, and he doth not sin, he shall surely live. Because he is warned, also thou hast delivered thy soul. So, dear ones, it's time now to rise up, to obey, and loudly proclaim the loud cry message of Revelation 18, combined with that of the third angel, the righteousness of Christ, to any and all, whether they will hear or reject. And if you do not preach this message, if for some reason you keep it to yourself, or you remain silent about it, or you're waiting for a better time to give it, then precious souls will be led to their destruction along with Babylon, and you will be held responsible by God for the loss of their salvation. So when is it time to give the message? God says today. Are you giving the message? May we all think seriously upon this subject and then make our informed decision to arise and shine for God by giving and spreading the loud cry as far and as wide as we possibly can. Now, we've learned that the message of the third angel, which is the righteousness of Christ, and the message of the fourth angel, which represents all churches making up Babylon the Great, including the apostate Adventist church. These two messages are to be combined together and swell to a loud cry. But how is this really possible? How can a message of the righteousness of Christ, or justification by faith and sanctification through faith and works, how can this wonderful message be combined together with a message to separate out of every harlot church of Babylon? It seems to contradict itself, doesn't it? And finally, with all that we've learned, what are you going to do with all of this truth regarding the latter rain and the loud cry? So how can these two messages really be combined together? And then what are you going to do with the truth that you've heard? And this is what we'll discover and discuss next time. Again, praise God for not leaving us in darkness, but awakening each of us to the time of night in which we find ourselves living in today. Our closing song is Sound the Loud Cry. Some of you heard this for the first time last Sabbath. Well, let's sing it again. Sound the loud cry, Babylon's demise is nigh. Point her captives high to the Lord. Bring them all out with a mighty shout, standing firm upon God's holy word. Rouse then, remnant, refreshed by the latter rain. Ready, steady, spread the truth along. Onward, forward, preach the righteousness of Christ. He is captive of the mighty throng.
Strong to meet the foe, marching on we go, while God's cause we know must prevail. With the Spirit's might, this earth is filled with light, the end is now in sight, we cannot fail. Round then, remnant, refreshed by latter rain, ready, steady, spread the truth along. Onward, forward, preach the righteousness of Christ. He is captain of the mighty throng.
O thou God of all, hear us when we call, help us not to fall by thy grace. When the battle's won, Babylon's fall is done, millions saved to stand before thy face. Rouse then, remnant, refreshed by the latter rain, ready, steady, spread the truth along. Onward, forward, preach the righteousness of Christ. He is captain of the mighty throng. Amen.
Amen. Christ leads the way. And we, if we're faithful followers of Christ, will follow him. Christ is not part of any Babylonian church. Christ is not united with a harlot. Are you? If you're a follower of Christ, you will be where Christ is, and that is outside of the gates, outside of the church, following the bridegroom on his way to the wedding. May you indeed connect yourself with Christ and disconnect yourself with Satan. This is my prayer. Please join with me for closing prayer. Father, thank you once again for not leaving us in darkness, but shining the wonderful bright light of truth to dispel darkness, to awaken us from sleepiness, so that we might become earnest and alive in regards to our salvation, in regards to where we're standing, who we're united with, who we're working for. I pray that Christ will become more precious than anything else in this world, any connection we may have. If it's keeping us from the Savior, give us grace and strength to sever it, to separate from it, so that there's nothing between us and Jesus. Spirit, continue to work upon hearts continue to bring these subjects back to their remembrance until they study these things for themselves and make their decision. We pray it's on the side of truth and not against it. But if it's against it, so be it. Help us to clearly discern who are working for God versus who are working for the devil, so that we will not be misled, that we will not be turned away from the present message that is lightening this earth with its glory at the present time. Help us to win Jesus, even if we have to lose everything else, for he is worthy. And Spirit, continue troubling our hearts, reproving us, correcting us, and instructing us in the straight, clear, plain, upward message of truth. And help us to fall in love with it. We don't want to be among those who hate the truth and thus are led to believe a lie, that they might be damned because they didn't love the truth. Help us to love the truth because it's Jesus' life and he sets us free. We want to be free indeed in the Savior and not under bondage to our loss. And thank you, Savior, for dying to set us free. What a sacrifice you gave. Help us be willing to sacrifice anything and everything that we might win you and thus gain eternal life. Thank you, Godhead, for thy great love, for preserving thy word of inspiration and the spirit of prophecy to help us understand more clearly, thus saith the Lord. Thank you for allowing us to be gathered together here or to hear this message. Thank you for opening our blinded eyes. And what a glorious truth you've given us. Please be with us as we part. Bring us back together again for sweet fellowship and for digging into the word of inspiration for just such a time as this. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So giving the loud cry brings on the Sunday law. May we never forget that. Are there any thoughts, comments, questions, testimonies, songs? Please feel free, dear one.
Elder Rob, I know that we have to wait a little bit till next week to find out how exactly. But as before you mentioned that, that's what was in my spirit, you know. How do we, like me, a person simple like me, how am I supposed to be doing that? Is it in talking to my friends, talking to whomever I come into contact with and stuff like that? And how do I go about broaching the message and making sure that it's being spread? So I know we're going to get into it, but that was ringing in my heart to ask.
Amen, dear sister. I mean, we went over a little bit of it today. Is you need to be humble. You need to be lowly, not proud. You need to submit your will to follow God's will. So all of those characteristics need to be developed. And, of course, you need to accept the message yourself. So if you're still connected with Babylon, it's going to undermine the message that people need to come out of Babylon. So you need to make sure that you're following the message yourself. And then go with how the Spirit leads. There are individuals that are not able to reach out to others personally with the message, but they can still be a part of spreading that message by their prayers, by their support, by their encouragement. So, you know, God has, if you look at the harvest process, God had individuals all the way along the step until finally the precious grain was secured in the garner, the heavenly garner, and protected from the storm and tempest, the time of trouble. So when you look at all of those processes, some were hired to go forth and cut down the ripened grain. Others were hired to gather the grain together and put it into a united group. Others were used to take that united group of grain to the threshing floor. Others were used to break that stalk of wheat into different parts. Others were used as winnowers to take the mixture of chaff and wheat and stubble and throw it up into the air and catch the stubble and throw it away. So there's different processes in which God calls various individuals to play a part in. So God may call you and give you a mouth of wisdom, you know, the words to use, to go door knocking, to preach it. And you don't have to be qualified by going to some training school before God can use you. He'll teach you. You just have to be willing. God will call others and give them the gift of intercession, the gift of prayer, all kinds of different talents that they can use in this harvest process. But the key is to go to God and let Him guide you, lead you, instruct you, and reveal to you what you can do for Him and His cause. And one of the greatest responsibilities that God has given to individuals is being a parent. Training children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That is a tremendous way to witness for God. A lot of times, parents tend to take their children for granted, if you will, and they focus outside of the family for some great thing they can do for God. Other times, individuals look beyond their own family or their own city or state that they live in, and they long for some great work to do for God in foreign fields, when God has already given them their work. He's given them children to raise. He's placed them in various communities and areas that they can work for Him now. But they're focused on some other area, and they're unhappy because they're not in that other area. When there's precious souls all around them desiring to hear the message of salvation. So go to God. Share your faith. Let your light shine. Take up the responsibilities that He's already put in your way, in your path, part of your life. And then do them to the best of your ability, relying upon God for help every step of the way. And put a smile on your face, you know. Don't be in the doldrums. Because in doing the work that God has given you, that God has put in your pathway for that day, it's a delight to serve God and to help whoever you come in contact with, even if it's your own family. It's a delight to do His will. So God will lead and guide you, dear sister. Amen. Amen. Comment. Mm-hmm. Comment in the room. It says, when I brought up my daughter, I always read where Ellen White wrote that God never gave me any other job and God provided the money to live. Praise the Lord. He is faithful that has promised. Any follow-up questions, dear sister, or any other questions?
No, that was good, Elder Rob. Oftentimes, as you mentioned, we are looking for something grand to do. But sometimes the very work is at hand and we don't know, but indeed taking it to the Lord and waiting for His command and His direction is the best thing to do. So thank you for that counsel and admonition.
Well, praise the Lord. And God never makes a mistake. If He's impressing upon your heart, it's because He's chosen you to do a particular work that I can't do. Only you can do it. So go with how God leads.
Yes. I wanted to know, is there any other fourth angel's message, any other ministries just besides the ones we know over the internet? Any other ones you're not familiar with?
I'm sorry, sister. I could not make out what you shared. Could you please speak more directly into the phone?
Yes, I wanted to know what other fourth angel's message ministries are out there besides yours and the others that we're familiar with.
Okay, all right, thank you. Her question, for those that could not hear it, is that she wondered what other fourth angel ministries or loud cry ministries are out there. And I know of one in Australia, Brother James Demise. He leads out in our Wednesday evening services. And he definitely is one that I can highly recommend visiting and supporting and encouraging, because he's the only loud cry ministry that I can recommend there in Australia. There's several ministries that believe that the church is Babylon, but there's other doctrines connected with them that's not in complete harmony with God's inspired word. So even though there's other ministries out there, I can't recommend these ministries on over the air, because I know that they are fighting against light that God has revealed and they're unwilling to follow. So even though they're preaching the message that the church is Babylon, come out, they're also preaching erroneous messages that go against the spirit of prophecy's counsel. And so I can't recommend these other ministries. But I can highly recommend Brother James's ministry there, in Australia. Are there any other thoughts or comments, dear ones?
I just want to share that I'm definitely very much in agreement that there is great work all around us that can be done, starting from our own home. And then we have our neighbors. We have those that we meet in the store or while we're out and about. However, the Lord will give us opportunity. I believe the Word of God teaches us that we need to be ready at all times to give an answer for that. Yes. And I think that that is also a foundational thing to stand on, is to be ready to give that answer, and also be humble and willing to not just wait for someone to ask the question, but there may be a leading. There will be, as a matter of fact, I believe that there will be a leading from the Holy Spirit to start the conversation, and we can't be fearful about that either, or try to think that reject in a aggressive way what we're saying. We have to give the word as the Lord says to give it, when he says to give it, because we don't know when we leave that dear soul, where are they going? Will they even make it to their home? So that time that we have with them at that very moment might be the only time that they have to hear the word of God in truth and power in the Holy Spirit, and be able to plant that seed and cause them, maybe even on their ride home, to truly consider to give their life to the Lord. And it may come in that moment. And we do not know that. And that's why we have to really, really be attuned to the Holy Spirit, really keep our ears open, and don't let our ears and our minds get clogged with much worldly stuff and things like that, and too much attachments to things that weigh us down and keep us from being heaven bound. We have to be able to be ready to give that answer and ready to ask that question at a moment's notice. Because we don't know where it's just like was spoken of earlier, as the Lord called the humble fishermen. That's what we're doing. We're fishing. We're out there laying the bait here and there and trying to see who's going to bite. And not all are going to bite. And even all the fish, and many times with fishermen, when they drag in their net, they don't keep all of them. And that's for the Lord's work. That's his work to do. Which fish are kept and which fish are tossed back. But we have to be faithful fishermen and get out there and cast the net broad and wide, and be willing to reel that net in with hope in our heart that here are some dear souls for the Lord. The Lord will take them in and save them. Because that's really, it really is a beautiful work, wherever we may be. It really is a beautiful opportunity that we can have to share Christ with someone. And when we can shake the dust of this earth off, we find greater liberty in Christ to be able to do that work, whether it is in our humble little neighborhood, our home, abroad, whatever the case may be. It really is a rejoicing to be able to do that work. We need to stir ourselves up, be zealous for those good works.
Yeah, amen. Amen. For those listening, if you want to visit Brother James's website and contact him, his website is freeliteraturemultimedia.org. So freeliteraturemultimedia.org. All one word, as websites are. There's also another ministry called In Light of Prophecy Fulfilled.org that I can recommend. That's Rick and Jenny Markwell. We have Brother Garay's ministry there in Colombia, which I can highly recommend. He's got a YouTube channel where all of his Spanish material, television broadcasts actually, are available. So he's another one that has a ministry that I can recommend very highly. And there's a lot of ministers that don't have a particular ministry or website that we're connected with all around the world that are spreading the message of the third and the fourth angel. So the ministries that I mentioned there, Brother James is in Australia, Rick and Jenny's here in California, and Brother Jorge Garay in Colombia. Those I can highly recommend. But God has his workers all around the world. And again, you don't have to be trained before you can go forth and let your light shine for God. And as our dear brother brought up about the fishermen, when they put that bait on the hook and they cast it over into the water, they don't see the particular fish that's going to bite, but they're still working for God. So if you are unable to go up and talk to someone personally, you can still be a fisherman or fisherwoman or fisher child by giving a tract, by leaving a track wherever you may go, whether that's shopping, whether that's to a restaurant, whether that's just going to school or wherever it may be. You can still put the bait on the hook. And even though you don't know who's going to bite or who's going to be caught by that track of truth, God knows. And he will bless your effort. Some go forth to sow, and they never find out who actually accepted the seed of truth and grew into a fantastic plant for God. But just because they didn't see the person didn't mean they weren't working for God by casting the truth out, by sowing the seed. So let your light shine. Pass out those tracts. Encourage, pray for, and support the work. And God will bless your effort in precious souls being one to God through your efforts.
I don't know if you mentioned Brother and Sister Bancayo. They have a ministry.
Yeah, they do. They have a home church. I don't know what the name of the home church is, but they don't have a ministry that has a website, but they are indeed very active in the work. And God has really blessed their efforts. So there's a lot of others that I haven't mentioned, but I did mention the ones that do have online materials for you to be able to visit and be blessed by. Are there any other questions or comments or thoughts, testimonies or songs, dear ones? Please feel free.
We'll share this song because I think it's appropriate for us to lead our hearts out to God more and more. More love to thee. More love to thee, O Christ, O love to thee, hear thou the prayer I make on bended knee. This is my earnest plea, more love, O Christ, to thee. More love to thee, more love to thee. Once earthly joy I crave, sought peace and rest. Now thee alone I see, give what is best. This all my prayer shall be, more love, O Christ, to thee. More love to thee, more love to thee. Let sorrow do its work, then grief or pain. Sweet are thy messengers, sweet their refrain. When they can sing with me, more love, O Christ, to thee. More love to thee, more love to thee. And shall my latest breath whisper thy praise. This be the parting cry my heart shall raise. This still my prayer shall be, more love, O Christ, to thee. More love to thee. More love to thee.
Amen. Thank you, dear brother. Beautiful.
Bob, do you remember a Vincent Cherry from California days? Do you remember his sidekick's name?
Was that John Skeet?
Okay, that's it, John. Then the Randy Skeet I see him nowadays is not the same person. Whatever happened to Vincent Cherry?
He ended up back in the church.
Oh, okay.
Sad to say. It was a downward process for quite a number of years. I don't want to go into the detail. But sadly, he ended up in the church, and he lives in Wisconsin now, I believe.
Ty Gibson did too, did he not?
Ty Gibson, yeah, he was in Washington. I think he's still in Washington. And Ty came face to face with the message that the church had become Babylon Fallen, and he did not decide to preach it. He said it's a warning, but he did not believe that the church had become. And now he's back in the church for decades now. And his sidekick, James Rafferty, is also in the church. And James Rafferty told me himself personally that he believed the church was Babylon. But he then changed his position and now is 100% in support of the Adventist church.
Yeah.
Ty came to that decision, but he decided on the other way. And soon after was back in the church.
Well, Advent Messenger just put out a piece on La Sierra. Maybe you're acquainted with it. June the 9th, they're having a special graduation celebration for all the deviants in the Seventh-day Adventist Church. The homosexuals, the lesbians, the trans, this, that, and the other. And then later on that same month, they're going to have graduation for the rest of the students. But I couldn't believe they did that, or they're doing that. But I guess it's just another sign of the time.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me for that area because, 15 or so years ago, maybe even more, the pastor of the church there in La Sierra came out with their idea that God was female.
Oh my.
So, so when you get into that spiritualistic belief, the truth no longer has any effect on your heart. And then, of course, you're going to go all the way into Babylon. And for those who may not realize this, homosexuality, transvestitism, cross-dressing all originated in Babylon.
Yeah.
So we're just seeing that Babylon is still alive and well today.
Go out from among her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and you receive nothing but things. If this doesn't finish it by making her sins reach to heaven, I don't know what would.
I know, brother, that God is allowing the apostasy to come out in the open so that everyone can have the precious privilege of saying, ooh, there's something wrong here, or, well, you know, that's just the conference. That's not me. I'll continue to support the church and everything else because God's going to take all the wicked away and all the good are going to remain. The only problem is God will not do that. Because how God has dealt with his people in the past is the very same way he's dealing with his people now. And since God didn't save Israel from being cast away because of her apostasy, God's not going to save the Adventist church or the Baptist church or the Methodist church or any of the other apostate Protestant churches from being cast away either. And that's where we have the Revelation 18 movement. Come out of her, my people, so that you can be my remnant. The remnant is never part of the clothing. It's always separate.
Mm-hmm.
So when you hear the idea that you have to be part of the Adventist church in order to be the remnant, that is a contradiction. That's a gigantic contradiction of facts.
Yes.
Anyway, praise God for opening our eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I was not aware of that, dear brother. So thank you for bringing that to my attention.
AdventMessenger.org, I think it is.
Are there any other thoughts or comments, questions that you'd like to bring forth, dear ones, before we close today's service? Please feel free.
Elder Rob, is it possible that we can pray for Brother Garay? Brother as well? And my mom as well, and all the brethren that are being afflicted or in recovery. Thank you, dear brother.
Sure. Let's bow our heads. Father, we lift up the Garais. We lift up John. We lift up others of our loved ones and brothers and sisters in the faith that are going through sickness and affliction. We also lift up those that may be going through severe tests and trials. And we pray that Jesus will be sent to each one and in such a way that they can recognize that he's near them. Thank you also for sending thy spirit to encourage them and to lead them to look up and not focus on their affliction or trial, but to look up that they may find life in Jesus. We pray, dear Savior, that you will bring a healing relief to them, that they may receive grace and strength to rise back up and to be even more zealous in their work for you. Thank you, dear Savior, for allowing thy perfect will to be accomplished, and please grant them patience, long suffering. Remove from them any worsening symptoms, that they may be on the road to recovery and raised back up to full health. Thank you, dear Savior, for being their deliverer, their healer, their source of strength. Thank you for such a wonderful physician and redeemer and savior to each one of us. Thank you for also protecting thy people, keeping them from a myriad of different diseases and afflictions that the devil wants to bring our way. Thank you for preventing him and only allowing what is necessary for our salvation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Be thou my vision. Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me.
It's open? Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I didn't even know it was open. Forgive me.
Oh, continue with the first verse, dear sister. You got half of it.
I don't even know it well. I was just trying to be able to. I'm so sorry.
It's all right. Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me, save that thou art. Thou my best thought, by day or by night. Waking or sleeping, thy presence my light.
Be thou my wisdom, and thou true word. I am there with thee. Thy true Son, thou in me dwelling. Mm-hmm.
Riches I heed not, nor man's empty praise. Thou mine inheritance, first in my heart. O King of glory, my treasure thou.
O King of glory, my victory, one rule and reign. Thy will whatever befall, still be my vision, a ruler of.
Amen. If we keep our focus on Christ Jesus, then everything will be fine. We'll be led into the golden pathway of truth, ever onward and upward, till heaven be our home. And life with our Savior and Father and all the rest of the redeemed will be ours for eternity. What a wonderful prospect, dear ones. Wonderful to think about and to contemplate that Christ is the key to it all. Are there any last thoughts that you'd like to share? Have a wonderful remaining Sabbath, dear ones. And those on the other side of the world, have a wonderful new week. We're looking forward to being back in fellowship with you again soon. Until then, keep looking up.
I think my voice is gone. Keep looking up, thy God is still the same today. Keep looking up, he will not fail thee, come what may. Keep looking up, the darkest cloud will roll away. So do not doubt, but keep on looking up.